Okay, so we're up to Perek Shishi in Ali Short. Perek Shishi opens up what Revolvi called Shlosha Michtavim, essentially three letters. Now, the previous week we spoke about the Yimei Avah, the Yimei Asinah, ups and downs. He's kind of going through like different features of the yeshiva experience. He's writing for Bnei Torah, who are just starting out in their yeshiva career. And he's covered some fundamental topics. It happens to be that this Mechtav Rishon, this first letter, is such an incredibly powerful piece. It's such a relevant piece, I found. And I've been out of yeshiva for like 10 years. Actually, not sure. I've been in yeshiva for 10 years. But my Shana Aleph in yeshiva was like 10 years ago. And it still resonated so strongly. And it's something which I continue to feel, even though I'm in such, I guess you could say, a different place or coming from a different perspective. It still resonated really, really well. So usually what we do is we kind of like talk outside and go through the points that Revolvi makes, and we add, we subtract, we kind of do our own thing. For this one, I really want to stay closer to the text. The entire thing is so powerful. It says, Yedidi Hayakar, my wonderful dear student, Mama Odani Margish Itcha, I really feel your pain that you feel like the learning is just not working for you. A student, it's frustrating sometimes when you're dealing with like these shoot svarim, shos, chuvos. You often don't get the question. You kind of just get the answer, and you have to be medayik. You have to kind of figure out what exactly was going on. From the answer, you can figure out what the question was. So I feel your pain, and I share this frustration with you. Do you feel like the learning is not going well? Maybe it's difficult to concentrate in shir. Your chavrusos are not really working out so well. You've gotten to like this low point, this point of frustration. Like, do I even want to be here? Is this really the right place for me? Maybe I should leave and just like start college already. You wanna get out of this funk. You wanna move past this difficult time period. What am I supposed to do? Things are just not working. And again, it's not like a guy never. This guy never was succeeding in yeshiva. It sounds like he's in one of these Yimei Asena, he's in one of these low points, which we spoke about last week. And he needs Eitza, he needs a suggestion as to how to build himself out and get past this. Yedidi, and again, this is a Rebbe writing to Talmud. It's beautiful to see. Refutner has this also, that the shonos, the expressions that they use when they talk to their Talmidim are such, there's such a feeling of closeness, of dearness. It's inspiring to see. Yedidi, my dear friend, my close Talmud, b'matzavim ka'ela muchrachim mikodem levarer. The first thing we need to do is ketzad higiyu l'kach. You need to figure out what took you from where you were down to where you are now. What knocked you off your pedestal? What interrupted, I guess you could say, your flow? You when you're in the zone in yeshiva, what brought you to this place of frustration? Of depression. Magaram lidika onza. Hageba atzmacha, you have to think for yourself. B'meshech hodshayim lamadata. For months, you're learning. Avadata, you're working hard. Heisa, olizim rutsa, you were feeling good. Right? You're flying. Upitom. Suddenly, ke'ev atzavut, choser hitrakazut b'yatzacha. Suddenly, you're at this low point where it's difficult to focus. It's difficult to concentrate. You feel like nothing's really working out. Nothing's going well. How did you get from that height and doing so well in yeshiva to a place where you barely feel that you're learning anything, that you remember anything, that you barely belong? Revolvi says that if you can figure out what's causing, what got you in the soul in the first place, you'll know what you need to work on in order to get out of it. Which itself is like that's a fantastic takeaway. Even if this was the only thing we walked away from this letter, like that piece of advice itself. Is that so often when you get into an issue, you get into a hole, how are you supposed to get out? How are you supposed to dig yourself out of that? You have to notice, you have to recognize, you have to be aware of what puts you in that hole in the first place. That's usually the ikar, that's usually the point which needs to be worked on, which needs to be addressed before you can really take steps, leave kadem, to continue developing. But he goes past that. Hine, ataninza bin chavirim. You, obviously, in yeshiva, I guess not so obviously this year, but you're with friends. You have your chevra, people you're learning with, people in the shir, the chavrusas, the chevra in general, 50 guys, whatever it is. Kulchem asukim bin yanachad. You're all focusing on the same thing. Kulchem shomim shir echad. You're all hearing the same shir. Kulchem min modedim yachad lavin olamik. And you're all struggling in the same way to understand and to get a deeper grasp. Liskor lishol otaritz, to remember what you're learning, to ask good questions and to find good answers. Umitkalim kishron otav shal kol achad v'yachad mikem. And through this process, You're learning the same makoros, going through the same shir, hearing from the same rabbi. Through this process, what's being revealed is the kohos, is the capabilities, is the abilities of every single one of you. Yigias halimud tofeses is kol hakohos asichliim shel haadam. Yigias haknisa la'avodas Hashem tofeses kol hakohos anafshim shel haadam. Right, we're doing two things here. We're growing as of the Hashem. We're also progressing specifically in our limud Torah. Your intellectual capabilities are being pushed to their limits by your time learning, and your it's not really emotional. Your spiritual capabilities are being pushed, are being strengthened by your work to grow as an Eved Hashem. So muscles that you haven't necessarily worked at until this point, or you haven't put through such a strong workout, are really being tested. And what happens when a bunch of people are being tested in the same way? What's the army day? The army training day or the army tryout day? Yeah, what it's called, Yom Sayarot, right? If you're interested in trying out for a Sayaret in the Israeli army, so I think it's like a 3-day process, but like everybody comes together and they're all running the same drills, they're all going through the same tests. And what happens over time? That happens, it's with the Marines also, it's the same process. Over time, people drop out, right? Things get too difficult and people realize this is not for me, I can't hack it, and they quit. And over time you get a sense, you get to see who is, I don't know, who's the strongest, who's the fastest, who's the most flexible, who's the most resilient, who's the most intellectually capable, or the most intellectually tough. Those are things that you get to see when you're pushing yourself to the limits as part of a group of people. You're essentially measuring yourself up against them. Who can go for longer? Who has to drop out shorter? All right, if we just did like a push-up contest right now, we would get a sense, 10 guys doing a push-up contest right now, we would get a sense of who the strongest guy, at least biceps-wise, who's the strongest guy in the group. If I was doing it on my own in my room, on the one hand, I'm not measuring against anybody else, I'm measuring against myself. But at the same time, there is less motivation, right? There definitely is motivation when I can look to the left and to the right and see two of my friends who are still going. That pushes me to continue pushing myself, and that helps me access sources of strength I wouldn't necessarily have been able to pull on or to call on if not for that. So there's the positive, there's the negative, right? There's the inspiration from the guys next to me, but at the same time, there's this sense of competition and the feeling of, wow, I just lost to my friends, or I'm not as strong as they are, measuring myself up to them, and it turns out that I'm weaker than they are. That can be very difficult to handle. That can be very difficult to accept. Volbi says that's exactly, in a certain sense, he's not saying this as an ideal, he's saying this is a reality. This is exactly what happens when you walk into yeshiva. So what is it? You know, 30 guys go into the same shir, 50 guys are in the same machzor of the yeshiva. You're all working with the same schedule. You have access to the same rebbeim, the same basic schedule, time periods, whatever it is. And then you're kind of let loose. And there's this inevitable sense of who's doing the best. Who's the smartest guy in shir? Who's getting the makoros in the best way? Who's staying up latest, right? There's so many different ways to measure yourself, but essentially what happens is you're checking your progress against your friends. Who's grown more, right? Who's upended their wardrobe more than the guy, more than the other guy? Whatever your benchmark is, whatever your determinant of success, when you're with 50 other guys who are going through a very similar process, it's natural to look around and say, how am I doing as compared to them? So you look at your friends. Zeh, Zachron, the guy to your right, has an incredibly strong memory. Hey, you ask him, what was that ritbo we saw on the first day of Shir? He rails it off like it's not a problem. The Atash Yocheach Maher, you can barely remember the ritbo you did yesterday, let alone the one that you did from the beginning of the year in Sukkah. Zeh, Tofes Kolanyan, Bekalos of Mahiros. This guy, the guy on your left, He is very, very quick. He's very sharp. He understands things quickly. You're much slower. And even when it's slow, sometimes it's so difficult for you to work through those steps and finally understand. Even if you're taking it slow, there's no guarantee that you're actually going to understand it. It can be very difficult for you. And no one's denying that these are incredible strengths that your friends have. The guy on the right, the guy on the left, the guy with the good memory, and the guy who's very, very sharp and very quick. Hazika Ron Batvisa Amira. These are both huge strengths, two huge advantages. What do you have that can compare? What do you have if you compare yourself to them? So he already inserts a little bit of a positive spin, but we're going to continue. He says, Kishatafasta Inyan, Acharya Amel Harab, Hinchama Mikla Havino. If you spend an entire post night seder, you spend 2 hours working through Shir again, listening to the recording again, writing down notes, reading your notes over again, seeing it back inside in the Gemara. You spend those 2 hours going over Shir and making sure that you really understand it. In Achinami, you didn't get it after Shir. You walked out of Shir feeling confused. You didn't see how the parts fit together. And your friend who was walking next to you is like, wow, what a Geshmak Shir. That was so good. And he, again, let's assume he actually understands it and not just making it up. But your friend who really did understand, who understands deeper? Who really gets it? You understand it in a deep way because you worked so hard on it. The friend who was able to listen and process and listen and process and got it as it was coming out, he understood the words that the Rebbe said in a chinami, but in a deep way. Can you really say that he asked the right questions? Can you really say that he understood it deeply? Lav davka. You, Eina Chinami, don't remember that ritva that you did at the beginning of the year. But if you decide that you're going to conquer Bava Metzia, and you spend weeks going over, and making sure that you have it in your back pocket, you will not forget that quickly. You feel, right? It's not just, can you rattle off the material? You both can. He's a Zachran and you worked hard on it, but you feel that you built a relationship with the material, right? I worked for this. I was koned. I earned this. You feel the simcha. You feel the happiness of Yagato Matsasa. Chavirecha Zachran, but your friend who has that great memory, he actually does not feel, since he didn't have to work so hard in order to remember it, he doesn't feel as connected to the stuff that he learned. Therefore, he's not as affected by the Torah that he remembers just as well as you do, right? You both remember the same material, but since he did not have to work for it as hard as you did, he's not as connected to it. It doesn't make, he doesn't get as excited about it, and he doesn't get as affected by it. So number one, just to recognize that every mila has a chisaron, every chisaron has a mila. And as much as it can be difficult to see when you're looking at the flashy, the mavrik, right? You're looking at the flash, you're looking at the exciting parts, or the more obvious external parts of a certain midah, it can be hard to recognize that. If you're able to look a little bit deeper and try to figure out what's the positive of this situation, it feels negative, it feels difficult, it feels hard. But if you can look a little bit deeper and see that there is a positive here also, that can definitely take off a little bit of the bite. That definitely helps a little bit with the sense of he's so much better than I am. My friends around me are doing so much better. If you recognize that your chisaron also has a maila, that is definitely one step in the right direction. But I think what Revolvi is going to develop now is not just responding to the problem, it's undermining the problem in the first place. Right? Instead of saying, yes, there's a problem, but there's also a benefit, there's also something positive. Say it this way. Yes, there's a negative, but there's also a positive. This is saying that the negative itself is not actually a negative. That makes sense? Obviously, we're gonna illustrate exactly what we mean, but as an abstract, does that make sense? The first thing we'll be essentially told us is in Chinam you have a negative, that it's hard for you to remember things, but there's also a positive that comes from that exact point. But since it's difficult for you to remember things, you have to work hard, you have to go over things over and over again. There's a certain connection, there's a certain simcha that you gain, that you build, that your friend doesn't. So you have a negative, but you also have a positive. What we're going to do now is try to show that what you think is a negative not only has a positive, is actually not even a negative in the first place. And this, if we can internalize this, if we can really make this the way we see the world, it's so, so incredibly powerful. It totally, totally changes. Really, it's much more than just the yeshiva experience. It totally changes everything in life. Everything that's going to happen over the next 100 years would be looked at with a different lens if this is the way you kind of take on your perspective on the world. So what does he say? Hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaBocher BaTorah Nasan Lecha Kol HaKochos HaDrushim Kedei Shetkabel Chalkecha BaTorah. Hashem has an assignment for you. He has an assignment for you, which is different than the assignment that he has for anybody else. I like to talk about Mission Risk, right? No, nobody likes to play Mission Risk. I happen to be a big fan of Mission Risk. But the way Mission Risk works is instead of trying to capture the entire world, instead of conquer the entire world, you have a card. You get a card in the beginning of the game, says get what is it? Two people on 18 territories, conquer Asia and Africa or Europe and whatever it is. You have a very specific mission that you're supposed to do. Nobody else in the game has your mission. In addition to the mission that God gave you, he also gave you all the resources that you need to accomplish your mission. So he didn't just say, get 18 guys in every territory. He gave you the, instead of just saying, capture, conquer Asia and Africa, he gave you a bunch of guys in Europe, so you have access to Asia, and also to Africa. So he gave you a stronghold in Europe. I don't know if anybody's actually holding the risk. In which case, this would not be a relevant analogy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the mission. He gave you the kochos that you need to accomplish that mission. Tuchal levarich besimcha rabba b'chol boker baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech olam she'asa li kol tzarki. You can make that bracha with full confidence that Hashem, you gave me everything that I need. That's not just my physical needs. That's my intellectual needs. Those are my emotional needs. Those are everything that you created me with. That's my toolbox. That's my toolbox. That's my backpack. Those are the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me for me to accomplish the mission that he has for me. Gam b'gashmias, gam b'ruchnias, both in gashmias and ruchnias, physicality and spirituality, intellectualism, kol mash tzarech li b'chdei l'malos tafkidi ba'olam kol adarish li l'zakos, v'chelki b'torah hakol yizbarach nasan li. Everything that I need in order to access my chelik in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the tools to access that, to get there. So what are we starting to work towards, right? Where we're talking to a guy in yeshiva, writing a letter to his rebbe, to his rosh yeshiva, saying I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I feel like I'm not seeing success in my learning, my shiurim are not going well, my chavrusas are not going well. What is the role be starting to develop here? The reason you're feeling this tension, the reason you're feeling the sense of I'm not good enough, the reason you feel like this is not, I'm not cut out for this, is because you're taking your cues from the guys around you. This guy has much better memory than me. This guy is much quicker. This guy is much sharper. This guy is so much more patient. This guy can stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I can barely make it to 12. You're taking your cues from the guys around you. But what's the point? What's the number? What is Revolvi telling you have to remember? You have your mission with your kishronos, your tools that God gave you to accomplish your mission. His tools are not going to help you. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give you that gift of a zikaron tova, of a good memory, then getting it from your friend is not actually what you need. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give you that tfisa mehera, the quick grasp of a new material, and you take it over from your friend, right? If you could have been present when God was giving out gifts, when God was giving out talents and abilities, and you could have made your requests, and you requested the tfisa mehera instead of whatever other milos you have, you would actually have been unequipped. You will be unequipped to accomplish the actual goal, the actual mission God wants you to accomplish. Ulum ata yosir mashata ro marchas kochos es kochos sichlucha ataro kishronos chavirecha. But you, instead of appreciating the milos, the gifts that you have, you see your friend's abilities veitzel atzmucha taroa rakshein lacha. You're comparing yourself to them. You see what they have, and you don't have what they have. Mashiyesh laachayrim what your friends have. Haliban amshutaf dochevutcha yom yom al gvulos eila. And you know what pushes you to these extremes? Basically, the yeshiva experience is specifically crafted to highlight for you what you don't have. Right? You're sitting down with Chavrusa, who's quicker than you are. You're sitting down with Chavrusa, who remembers everything that was done over the past 3 months. every single day, right? Yom, every single day, you're getting this reminder, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not like my friend. I'm not like my friend. Over and over and over again. And these negative feelings pile up day after day after day, right? It's that Ritva that he remembered today, in addition to the Rambam he remembered yesterday. And in addition to that, it was the Rashba that he remembered the day before. And the day before that, it was something else. And every single day, it's a new reminder that you're just not as good as your Chavrusa is. No, and in the beginning you didn't recognize them. You know, as things start out, you don't pay attention. You kind of push them back. You don't let it affect you. You don't let it bother you. You may have thought when you first came to yeshiva that I'm one of the strongest guys in the yeshiva. I was one of the strongest guys in my high school. It makes sense. I'm going to be one of the strongest guys in yeshiva. And it's hard to pop that bubble. Right? Nobody wants to have their bubble popped. Nobody wants their view of reality to be shown to be wrong, especially if it means that they're not as good as they thought they were. Avol yom yom, risa yosef yosef, every single day you're seeing more and more, kishronos, shalacherim, megaros, etzlecha. The strengths, the capabilities of your friends, the strengths of other people, keep getting you down. Yom achad mitmalasa, and at a certain point, it just kind of like boils over. And that's when you start feeling like a nobody. That's when you start feeling like a nothing. Lo kisharon, lo atzlacha, lo tikva, rakafisas koach, atzvos, and tsar. That's when you get to this low point of, what am I even doing here? If I can barely understand, I can barely remember. I don't belong in learning. Why should I even finish my Shana Aleph, my Shana Bet? I may as well just go home now, because this is clearly not the place for me. That's not something which developed in a day. That was day after day after day of sitting down with Chavrusa, who's just a little bit faster than you were, of going to a shir, which is just a little bit past your level, and everything like that. And that buildup of emotions, that buildup of frustration finally boils over and knocks you down. Totally, totally knocks you down, floors you. And you got to get up and say, like, what am I doing here? Right? Is this really the right place for me? Do I really belong in this yeshiva? Do I really belong in learning? Should I be switching chavrusas, switching shiurim? What am I doing here? I need to totally change everything up if I'm going to continue learning. What is this feeling? If you had to put this into one word, if you had to sum it up with one label, hargasha zu nikreis kina. Essentially, this is the feeling of jealousy. Tehezos nechmascha yedidi. This, my dear, dear Talmud, should be your comfort. Every single person, every single child, youth, teen, anybody who hasn't really found their place in life suffers from this feeling of jealousy. And even more so, a ben yeshiva. When the stakes are higher, right? When the stakes are higher, the emotions are going to be magnified. So we put Talmud Torah on such a pedestal, we put growth in Avodas Hashem on such a pedestal, it makes sense that when you feel like you're not measuring up, when you're not progressing, you're not growing, then it's going to be that much more difficult for you to handle that, for you to accept that. The emotional crash is going to be that much stronger. There's no place where the struggle, the growth, the push of ruchnius, the spirituality, is as strong as it is in yeshiva. V'lachein ein gam makom ha'amidus adam bebehirus koravah kochotav ruchaniim ugvulotehem. Therefore, there's no place at which as clearly helps a person recognize where he's holding in terms of his spiritual level. Now, a person needs to choose which parts he's got. What is he going to focus on? Right? What's being brought into focus for him is what he's potentially, if he has the right glasses, what he's good at and also what he's bad at, right? What his friends have a special koach in, and where he lacks that koach, but also where he hopefully is able to excel as compared to some of his friends. And this guy is feeling so upset. He's feeling so depressed. There's like a strong sense of dikaon, a strong sense of depression, which is coming through this letter. Like, I don't belong here. I'm not doing well. I'm not progressing in my learning. What am I supposed to do? So here's the diagnosis. Here's what this guy needs to do. And this is such an incredibly fundamental idea. Hamakir et atzmo v'yodeh tchunotav. Somebody who recognizes, who knows himself and knows his strengths and knows his capabilities. V'yodeh ki ma shechananu habore yisvarach. And he recognizes, he knows the gifts that Hashem gave him. Matana gedolehi. That is a huge gift. That is a blessing. And if he focuses on his milos, if he takes advantage of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, not his friends, not the other guys in the yeshiva, not the older guys, the gifts that he knows that he has to work with, he'll rise up to the highest levels. Yasig b'tar hakadosha, masha borei olam ratza shehu yasig. Right, that's such an important line. What is it that he's going to achieve in learning? It's not that he's going to become the biggest Talmid Chacham. It's not that he's going to become the best Magid Shir. It's not that he's going to remember all of Shas. Hu yasig b'Torah HaKadosha masha borei olam ratza shehu yasig. He will accomplish the goal Hashem wanted him to accomplish. Uva'opfen sha borei olam ratza shehu yasigehu. Not only content-wise, what is he going to learn? He'll also do it in the way that Hashem wanted him to do. Adam zeh eino sovelon mikena. A person in touch with his milos, a person in touch with what with his unique capabilities, will no longer suffer from jealousy. So he's telling this Talmud, you're looking around, you're looking at your friends, right? You're looking at the other guys in the shir, and you're seeing them as so much more successful than you are. You know why that is? Because you don't know what your mission is, you don't know what your tools are. Now, it's not a fault of this kid, right? This kid is an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever it is. This can extend for years. Right? If a person doesn't take the time to try to get to know himself and figure out what this means, this could go on for years of his life. This is like midlife crisis type of material. You never really get a sense of what you're supposed to be doing in life. You wake up in the middle of your 40s and you're like, what have I accomplished in my life so far? It's more than halfway gone. And I don't feel like I've actually done anything significant. What am I doing here? So a person needs to sit down, recognize the talents, recognize their capabilities, literally sit down with a piece of paper, write up a list. These are the things that I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. These are the things which I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is specifically challenging me with, the things that I know that I'm uniquely not good at, uniquely need to work on more. The more you're in touch with yourself, the more you're in touch with who you are, what you have to work with, and when you put that together, you'll be able to come up with potentially what the goal that you're supposed to be working towards is, the more you can remove this sense of kinna from yourself and from your mindset, from your perspective, from your psyche. This totally changes a person's yeshiva experience. This really totally changes a person's life experience. Right, you just like you can apply the exact same discussion to money. Right, you look around your community, you look around your friends, guys in college and class with you, whatever it is. So there are certain contexts where you're going to be closer and have a better sense of what's going on for people than in other contexts. But you look around your friends, you have a certain sense like this guy barely has to think about the money that he's spending. This guy is a little bit more careful. This other guy never goes out to eat the restaurants because he knows that his family can't really afford it. And the guy whose family is not doing as well, or the family who's not as well off, can understandably look at his friends and say, not even mitzvah family. Let's say like you're 25, you're 30, whatever it is, you've started making a parnasa, and you're looking around at your friends. This one's in investment banking, and this one's a lawyer. This one's a doctor. Doctor's a terrible example. He's been in school for the past 15 years. This one is an engineer. Whatever it is, they're all making big bucks, and you're like, well, I don't know, working in an office somewhere. You're like, you're like a secretary job. Like that's, I don't know, that's incredibly frustrating. They're buying the big houses and they're moving out to the big communities, cars already and whatever it is. And you're like, you're getting by with a 80s jalopy, which is falling apart. And if that doesn't feel good, you're comparing yourself to other people. They have so much more than me. If we can internalize this perspective, and that is kinna, right? That's the sense of jealousy. Why can't I have what they have? Why can't I have access to the same gifts, the same opportunities that they have? And you might even think that I would be using them so much better, right? If I had those, if I had access to that money, I had so much more chesed and so much more tzedakah and helping other people around me, I would really be using it well. If a person, that's the sense of kinna, right? The sense of jealousy that I wish that their gifts were mine. If a person is able to really internalize that Hashem is giving me access to what I need to do my job in my little corner of the world, that sense goes away. Ein achinami, they have more. But you know what? It wouldn't be good for me to have more because that's not the job I'm supposed to be doing. There's something, and again, it, unfortunately, I can't tell you what your job is. And I can't give you that sense of serenity to realize like, oh, wow. And now that I see what my job is, I can see where my different kohos are bringing me towards that goal. And therefore, I feel good. That's something that you have to figure out for yourself. But if you take the time to recognize that, take the time to sit down and realize this is my toolbox. These are the tools that God gave me, the skills, the abilities, the kohos, the challenges, all these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in my, or first calls it a personal Gan Eden. Right? This is the personal Gan Eden that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed me in with all the tools that I need to succeed. when you recognize what goal I'm supposed to be working towards, Kenna just naturally falls away. Kenna just naturally falls away. That's this idea. The Chazal say that rekev atzamos, the thing which causes your bones to rot, your bones to turn to dust, is kenna. If you don't understand what makes you, you want to push yourself to the side and take on somebody else's identity, then yeah, your body is almost rusting away. Your body is falling away because you don't want to focus on your body. You don't want to focus on your own kochos. You don't want to focus on your own abilities. You're pushing your body to the side. You're kind of forcing your body down. Your body is rotting away. That's what kinna does to you. Kinna tells you, or kinna advocates for you to ignore your own body, your own kochos, your own abilities, for the sake of what other people have. The ma'aloteim shel achirim. Hitbonen efor yididi imlo akinam kinenes amok b'liv chayi shehevesicha lidei hayeyush v'atzar enochachi. So Ravolbi says to this Talmud, try to understand, is it possible that it's the sense of kinna which has brought you to where you're, to how you feel right now, that this low point, this upset, this depression. Im timatze kikachu ve'ineni misupak bazet. If you think that this could be it, and Ravolbi is confident that this is the source, dalucha. Here is what you need to do. Exactly like we just said, your job right now is to sit down and figure out what kochos did Hashem give me. What abilities did Hashem give me? And then I wouldn't necessarily put too much stead in this, but you can go online and they have like aptitude tests. We did one over the summer in the Chavos HaLevavos Chabura. Jordan, I don't know if you remember that one. But literally, it's like they ask you a bunch of questions. You have to choose between a few different things that you would be. Which of these four pictures would you most likely to be involved in? Like sitting at a desk, kind of behind the computer, building a table, saving a cat out of a tree, or something else random. And you go through a series of these questions, and at the end, they come up with a few potential careers, occupations you might appreciate, you might want to look into. But you get a sense of what you're interested in. You get a sense of what you're good at. You get a sense of kind of like what comes naturally to you. What do you get excited about? Things like that. And the more you're able to write up a list of what those kochos are, the stronger the sense you'll have of what should I be focusing my time on? What should I be focusing my ability on? This is true in life. I think it's also uniquely true in Torah. My father's a cardiologist, and he has a chavrusa he's been learning with for the past 15 years or so, I think, a long time. And they've been focusing, most of the time, they the mesechtas that they choose, they focus on let's say biology oriented mesechtos. I know they spent a lot of time on Chulin. That was a fun one for them, because their unique knowledge set, as two doctors, is uniquely suited to really understand in a deep way the discussions that are going on in a biology-oriented mesechta. So they have access to a level of understanding that I'm just not going to have because I didn't spend the time to learn that material. I'm just not as interested in biology as they are. I took literally one finances class in YU. It was on like the Great Depression. And it was the only class, a little bit embarrassed to say, it's the only class that I dropped out of. You dropped the class. The only class that I dropped. I wasn't putting enough time into it. It wasn't coming naturally. I wasn't getting it. So I dropped it. So I don't have a strong understanding of like basic economics of how banks work, of how money works and things like that. It just did not flow for me. It wasn't working well. Half of my friends were in Sims and this is what they were doing like all day. And they're much more in tune with, they are much more naturally in tune with let's say that type of limud, that type of learning. So we open up above Mitzia, we open up above Akama, we open up Sanhedrin in some places, we open up Ksubas, the stuff about the Ksuba itself. A lot of these money discussions, they're a lot better equipped to understand these sugyas in a deeper way. You can understand superficially, but understand in a deeper way to really get the amkus, to really get the depth of what the Torah is trying to, the guidance the Torah is trying to give us. You really need to have a deep understanding of different systems of economics to really appreciate that. So people who are more naturally in tune with different areas of study, different areas of life, things like that, are going to be able to access different, deeper depths of Torah than others will. right? If I don't have that much training in a certain area, somebody else does, they'll have much more insight. They'll have much more access to a certain limud. One of the best classes I took in YU was a comparative, it wasn't comparative religions. It was comparing like Torah Shebichsav, the way halacha is presented in Torah Shebichsav, with other ancient Near East cultures and law systems, Hammurabi's code and stuff like that. There's some fascinating stuff in that class, just like fascinating points to make when you compare the two, like our legal system, the way it's presented in Torah Shebichsav, with the way other systems kind of built their law systems. So like I would never be able to pull out those types of points, since I just don't have access to that type of learning. Somebody who spent so much time, somebody who's interested in that type of history and did a deep dive into those subjects, is able to uncover incredible depths, incredible new points in specifically that area of Torah. So that guy probably sat in yeshiva for years thinking that he was a nebuch, he was a nothing, he couldn't understand a good inshir, whatever it was. And then he got to university and he realized that this is my chelek, this is my area of Torah. He did a deep dive, he really went deep. And now he's pulling out insights that nobody else could have understood, could have pulled out, because he used his kochos. He understood what his kochos were, he understood what he's interested in. And he did a deep dive there. So as much as yeshiva doesn't always lend itself to that type of deep dive, right? We're spending a lot more time building a foundation, picking up our skills and things like that, than we are in really getting into those specializations, I guess you could call it. It's still important to recognize that at some point in my future, I'm going to need to know, what are my kochos, what are my abilities, what am I interested in, what's my unique contribution to the world of Torah, and now is the place for me to prepare for that. So let me put in the time, let me put in the effort to prepare as much as I can, but just stop comparing yourself to other people. Right? You don't know what they're going to need. You don't know what you're going to need. Focus on yourself. Build the skills that you need. You can be inspired, be motivated by your friends, but stop comparing yourself. And work on the skills, getting the skills that you need, and find that chelek, find that area of interest. Such an incredibly powerful letter. Okay, guys, we're going to stop here.